RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
8:02 in the AM, Kim McCusick from filmstudybaltimore.com. Ken, I was just watching that Marcus Spears comment on Lamar Jackson from last night. Gave me goosebumps again. I don't give a damn if you don't like how he comes in the building. You weren't talking about that when he was winning MVPs. Mic drop. Mic drop.
Well, somebody had to say it on that set. Yeah. I mean, outside of Emmanuel Acho, Ryan Clark's just been out of pocket with all the stuff he's been saying. It's like he says a dumb thing and then comes back and apologizes the next day. It seems like it's just rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
And now people were Emmanuel Acho had a video go viral of him saying that the Saints were stupid for drafting Tyler Shuck in front of Shedeur Sanders, to which everybody's now revisiting that.
Yeah, because he's going to be rookie of the year.
Ain't nobody got it worse than you in making selections, man. Stop picking stuff.
Hey, this is a good football game coming up. A game that's going to decide who goes to the postseason. Why is that not the storyline, but the future of coaches is more of the storyline with some people?
I don't know. I can't stand it. I tell you, being on Twitter at times is insufferable, being on message boards and whatnot. Everything you want to say about this team, you want to say three positive things or three things that could hold them back and three things that could help them in the playoffs. Everything becomes a referendum on John Harbaugh for next year.
Well, even Mike Tomlin.
I mean, it's everywhere in the division. There's one thing that Steelers fans right now are taking some solace in is they think not only should Tomlin be fired, but every coach in the division should be fired. And maybe that would make them feel better if everyone else has to go through that too.
Hey, Ken, as far as just going back to this past week, the ride, Saturday night getting the win, the way it's coming down, Snoop making the big play to make sure you don't blow a double-digit lead, and then watching the Steelers and how interesting that game even got. Well, what was your take on just, did you enjoy all that?
I certainly enjoyed Saturday night. That was just a wonderful game, incredible efficiency. I'm sure we'll get into some of that. But the game Sunday was like having your colon wound on a spindle. Not that I know exactly what that feels like, but I can't imagine it's a good thing.
Did I write that for you?
Yeah.
Wound on a spindle.
It was a gut-wrenching game. It was very difficult, and to watch them, almost blow the lead, finally find Freiermuth as a target again after what weeks, of him being absent.
Pittsburgh said in the fourth quarter several times, "We don't want to win the game. Stop giving it to us.
You can't make us."
Kim McCusick, filmstudybaltimore.com, joins us. Let's get back to Saturday. Your thoughts on the Ravens' run defense against the Packers, Ken?
Yeah, it's outstanding. They didn't do a good job containing Willis, but they certainly shut down the Packers' running backs entirely with 7 carries for 19 yards in the game. But they couldn't contain Willis, and that was a problem all night. Is they really just couldn't find a way to stop him. They stopped themselves a couple times. Willis made a bad decision to leave the pocket against a spy one time, but otherwise they couldn't get him.
Ken, as far as looking at quarterback play, what did you see from Huntley in this game? Again, managed the game efficiently, but made a big play when he had to.
Yeah, he was, I would say, flawlessly conservative in the game. There's nothing about his, what happened during the game that you'd say, I really want that, unless you look under the covers a little bit and you want the low-variance offense. And so what I mean by that is, there's a range of outcomes by play that can be pretty broad, including, sacks and explosive plays at the other end, and you're usually making a trade-off between those two. Huntley, everything being out quickly, a whole bunch of 5, 6, and 7-yard gains, threw for 5.1 yards per throw. It was essentially a complement to the run game. They never got themselves really behind in the sticks for the game, so they went 10 of 14 on third down. One of those they reversed on fourth down. So they actually had 30 first downs in the game, which is the 7th most in team history, tied for the 7th most. They only had 33 opportunities to get a first down after that. They converted 30 of those. Wow. It's unbelievably efficient. And I don't know that the Ravens have ever had a higher number in a single game. They probably have sometime during 2019, but that was remarkable.
Ken McCusick joins us, filmstudybaltimore.com. Ken, let's go back to the chances that the Ravens have. They win this game. You really believe they've got a shot to make a run in the postseason?
I do. I think they've got essential elements, and they may have rediscovered themselves in this game. So I'm kind of blowing some of the question you always like to ask me last about what do we learn about the Ravens here. But the Ravens may have rediscovered an identity that people decided they didn't want it. By the way, be careful about what coach you want gone, because Greg Roman's offense, make no mistake about it, is right back here in Baltimore now. With 2.19 heavies per play in this game, so they're getting almost as heavy as they were in the Roman era, and they have this low variance approach to the offense that's extremely successful. And that was a beaten down and heavily injured Packers defense, but what the Ravens did to them had to be incredibly demoralizing and just consistently getting all those first downs.
What did you see from the offensive line in this one? A lot of running, obviously, but did the guys that usually get beat up, did they play well?
Yeah, I'd say it was generally a good play across the line. I think when you rush for 307 yards, you're able to run the ball 53 times and only pass it 21. You're generally going to have a good game. But they didn't get penalized. They didn't give up any of the one sack was not on the offensive line. Stanley had a contribution to a number of pressure events in the game. So his play was probably the worst at a C. Voorhees also a C. He missed 12 blocks, but he made lots of mobility blocks. By the
he
way,
missed
that was
12 blocks.
Yeah, so that's not as serious as it sounds, because in a lot of games,
sounds pretty serious.
Well, he missed three poles, and he had other plays where he went to level two and missed them, but he missed 12 blocks is the total. Has similar number on the right side from Falele. Let's talk about that for a minute, because he had a really good pass blocking game, allowed one pressure, but he got out to level two and had level two no block or level two whiff a number of times, and he missed two poles as well. Missing those blocks, they're less chance to make them, and they are more they're less hurtful when you do. The worst thing you can do is lose the guy directly across the line of scrimmage.
Okay.
That's a loss at the line of scrimmage. It's treated differently. In terms of what
see, that's how I'm envisioning that. He missed what was in front of him.
Yeah,
you're saying
right.
He's going out to make a play,
right,
and he doesn't make the play.
So
that does not sound serious.
It scored L2NB on my score sheet. So, okay. So anyway, he played very well. The guy who was incredible in this game, Tyler Linderbaum, 18 level two blocks. And I'll say that's the highest total I've ever seen. But Rosengarten had 11 in the game. As part of it is you run the ball, 53 times. It might be able to happen. Yeah, everybody had at least five. Falele had six, even though he missed a bunch in level two, too. Stanley had, I think it was seven. No, five level two blocks. Voorhees had eight level two blocks. So, I mean, the guards were on the move the whole game. A lot of pulls. So Voorhees made eight out of 11 pulls. This is the back to the power run game where they do a block a lot. They have a guard on the move, and they're trying to pierce the opposing defense at the point of attack, as opposed to allowing the runner to make the decision on what the best cutback lane,
right,
is, which that's what really zone blocking is. And they're very effective at it, and it maximizes the relationship between Falele and Linderbaum in particular to a good degree that I really like.
I just want to get something quick. How shocked were you that the Ravens took the ball to start the game?
You know, the explanation was good, mm-hmm, that it was wind-related. They wanted the win in the fourth quarter, so I like it from that perspective. It's at least reasoned. I don't have a problem with it. I don't like giving away the middle two drives and potentially in the game.
Yeah.
A healthy Lamar or Tyler Huntley? Is that a real question? We'll let Ken McCusick talk about it on the other side. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster.
It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
16 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris under the weather. Ken McCusick from FilmStudyBaltimore.com is joining us. Ken, there's a question that goes on. I love John Harbaugh's answer to this. Healthy Lamar, Tyler Huntley, who do you start? For me, it's not even a question, but to you, it may be a legitimate question.
No, not a legitimate question. I think particularly against the Steelers, and they're more healthy in some ways on defense than they were before. They're certainly not more healthy on offense, but they have Harmon back in the middle of that defensive line. You have to have Lamar to force them to defend every blade of grass. So yep. you really need them to spread out the defense and not crowd the line of scrimmage. They're perfectly capable of doing it. They've done it before against Joe Flacco very effectively, and they need to – when the teams that have done it, they take away the Ravens' misdirection ability even more. So you have to have Lamar to threaten to go over the defense, and Tyler Huntley just doesn't do that.
No, he doesn't. I mean, I don't think he attempted – any pass more than 10 yards on Saturday.
Well, he didn't complete any over 10 yards. He tried twice, one for 10 and one for 15 or 17 down the right sideline that was incomplete.
What did you see from the front on defense as far as pressure? Was it a situation, you know, if we're looking at the pass rush or even the guys up front, I know there was a lot of talk about some of the guys on this team playing well. And Trenton Simpson was another guy that was brought up, I think, by Preston yesterday. But your thought on the front seven there?
Yeah, Preston's right to bring up Trenton Simpson. He made one of the very big plays of the game as a spy, getting over to take down Willis on the run left for one, which forced a field goal. So that was a big play in the game. They only had four defensive linemen active. Whenever that happens, I go into conniptions as soon as that comes out and complain about that on Twitter. But as it turned out, Brent Urban played six snaps and Okoye played three snaps, even though they only had four defensive linemen active. So it was all basically on Travis Jones, who they couldn't get out of the game. And he just had to be in there for every pass rush snap they had. They only played 1.4 defensive linemen per play, which is an outrageously low number. They never, not one time in the entire game, did they have three defensive linemen in the game, that's the base defense. That's, you know, when you're trying to stop a running team, that's what you do. But they, you know, very quickly they were off that in the game. And they had two plays at the end of the game that were the race car package. The first two times they brought it in the entire season where they have four outside linebackers as the front and no defensive linemen. So that was interesting. I hope we'll see more of that, honestly.
Ken McCusick, FilmStudyBaltimore.com, joins us. You brought up Travis Jones. He was my defensive player of the game. I don't know if he's played a more dominant game all season long. Hit a sack, 1.5 sacks, but it seems like he was even much more of a presence than that.
Yeah, I mean, he was ridiculously good. And it was fewer passing attempts this week than last week when he had eight pressures. So he's been outrageously good since this contract has been signed. It already looks like one of the great contracts in team history. He's the centerpiece of the pass rush. He will be next year. I think the interesting question with Travis, by the way, is going to be, do they draft a nose tackle because he's been so dominant playing as a three tech next to Jenkins?
Yeah.
Or do they draft, they move him back to nose and try and get another Madubuike type of dominant, maybe a smaller penetrating three tech to be the great pass rusher? But it's a great choice. I mean, to have that choice really opens up the draft for them in a lot of ways this year.
You can kind of go best player
yeah.
available of either option with that.
You know, I'm sitting here thinking about, I know you watched most of the Steelers game and you didn't break it down the tape or whatever, but did you see anything from this game that you think the Ravens can take away and use next week? Because that Steelers team could not push the ball downfield whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about the Ravens with Huntley out there. Maybe they have the similar thing, but you still got 22 in the backfield.
Yeah, I think the things that beat the Ravens the last time against the Steelers were Rodgers getting the ball out quickly a lot to a spot on the field. And particularly the very first play of the game, which is the long pass up the left sideline to Metcalf, actually, that's exactly what the Green Bay did on the first pass in this game.
Right.
But I don't think they have a good chance to do that because they just don't have the receiving
personnel
weapons anymore. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Calvin Austin is gone. He beat him on a speed play up the left sideline, and Metcalf beat him all over the place in this last game, and he won't be there either. So I'm liking it.
Their only speed guy right now is MVS, and I'm not even sure he has hands. I mean,
I'm not sure he knows the route. At least he let Aaron Rodgers tell him.
Well, Aaron was yelling at him the entire time.
Ken McCusick, filmstudybaltimore.com. Ken, John Harbaugh was very vocal in not being pleased with what he saw defensively on Saturday. But one thing he said was communication wasn't a problem. I thought communication looked to be an issue during that football game.
I mean, I go back to the third play of the game, or the their second play that wasn't a penalty, let's put it that way.
Right.
Throw up the middle where there's four verticals going on and Hamilton didn't drag his guy. That's a assignment error. I don't know if it's really a communication error in the same way. But, you know, Roquan was yelling at Hamilton after the play, so it kind of looked like to me that he'd known he'd made a mistake, and that's certainly what whoever was doing the color on that game did a pretty good job. He picked up on it right away.
Right.
Should have been.
I want to go back to, you talked a little bit about Henry, the workload. Any issues with that whatsoever? Because he said he's built for it. 36 carries a lot. I'm not complaining. It makes me look back at the previous week going, why couldn't we have done that then? But your thoughts on just the workload he got and if we see more of that moving forward.
That's the other thing you get, by the way, right now, is that nothing is ever good because it's why did they figure this out, you know, 10 weeks ago when we really needed it. But anyway, I agree with you that the Henry workload actually bothers me slightly. In terms of what's going on, he's got a lot of carries to get, hopefully, for the Ravens over the course of the next 5 or 6 weeks, right through, you know, hopefully Super Bowl 60. It is Super Bowl 60 this year, right? I think so.
Is it 60?
Sexta.
But anyway, I am a little concerned about it. He had 36 carries is an awful lot. It tied the Ravens' all-time record for carries in a game. And, you know, it's I wouldn't want him carrying that many times every week.
Greatest rushing performance at Lambeau Field.
I don't want him carrying that time every week from week one. But from week 17, I don't mind him carrying it.
Yeah, okay.
Times. Yeah.
It was a must-win game. I agree.
From here on out,
and
I'm fine.
You're probably okay with 42 this week and 46 the next week, and yeah. I would be too.
Yeah.
I
just don't want that from week one. Yeah. Don't start the season that way.
Right.
You know, rev them up and get them ready for that final run. But right now, it's like, now you're chasing a legacy. Now you're chasing history. Mm-hmm. Saddle up, big boy. Don't practice them. What did you learn about the Ravens this week?
Well, I mean, the thing earlier is that they may have rediscovered themselves. This is the coolest thing, that they refined the power run game. I look back at the 2012 team and the playoff run they made. I think the other thing they could figure out, and Marlon Humphreys had an interception in three consecutive games. He actually hasn't played all that well during this three-game stretch. He's been beaten a lot on coverages. If they all of a sudden pull the switcheroo at the last moment and make Humphrey the strong safety, I think that could be the big change for the playoffs this year that makes this defense dominant again. You know, it'd mean more snaps out of Awuzie on the outside opposite Wiggins. You'd basically stay with your slot corner situation being what it is, which is a combination of Hamilton and Washington when they're in dime. I think Humphrey's skills are incredibly portable to the strong safety position, and I think basically the time is now to make the change. If it doesn't happen in the playoffs this year, I think it'll happen next year if he's going to be back with the Ravens at all, because he's last among all corners in coverage grade by PFF, has given up a good number of yards per target.
So. Ken, what your thoughts? Do they win on Sunday? And tell everybody about your website.
Sure. I hope they win on Sunday, so I'll just leave it there. 62% chance. I think I'll go with the Gamblers and hope they're right on that. FilmStudyBaltimore.com is the website, @FilmStudyRavens on Twitter if you want to follow me. The defensive notes and the offensive line scoring in detail, which is really worth reading this week because there's some great numbers in there, is out there. And please make use of #FilmStudyMailbag if you'd like to ask a question. I'll get it on the right show, or I'll do a separate 1 to 3 minute video on it.
Thank you very much. See you next week, Ken.
And Happy
New
Year
to you. You too, guys. Wild card division, or wild card round of the playoffs. There you go. A World of Stupid at 8:45, but on the other side, Matt Wyrick from Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com, joins us. Talk a little Orioles baseball up next on The Fan.
Is this Jake Paul?
What do you mean? Oh.
Is this Jake Paul?
He's spitting through the wire.
Because
I'm spitting through the wire.
Yeah, get some Enfamil.
Guess right, man. Because I...
What are you drinking? Insurance.
Sure. That's a good one.
Jake Paul.
Can you imagine getting up this morning if you're Jake Paul? I'm rich, but he can't say it.
You know, the other part of this is like, hey, man, be thankful that you got today. How about Anthony Joshua? You win whatever it was, $10 million in a fight, and a week or two later, you're in a car accident that kills two of your friends.
Yeah.
And he was injured in it as well in Nigeria yesterday. Just a crazy scene, man.
Woo!
Here today, gone tomorrow.
It is a crazy scene. Can I tell you, I'm starting to get excited for this Atlanta trip?
Are you?
I was like flatline all this time.
If you don't take those girls to Sublime Donuts, I'm going to be mad at you. It's a donut. That's my favorite donut place I've ever been
text
to.
Text that to me.
I will.
Text that to me.
All right, I'll do it right now. And if you forget, just text me.
What? If you forget to go, text me and I'll remind you.
If you forget the name of the place and you don't...
That's why you text
hold
me.
Hold on, man. I text you stuff and you forget it all the time.
In order for you to... For me Stop. To text you, I got to go in the text.
Stop. You know how many times you're going to text me between then? It's like, man, I can't find it. I'm gonna text you.
You don't know me.
Two places.
You don't know me.
I do love Atlanta, though.
Now I'm glad I rented the van.
Told you that. The best pancakes I've ever had were in Atlanta at Rhea's Bluebird. New York Times voted them best pancakes in the country.
Really?
Yeah.
They texted me that, too.
I did. Well, I'm doing it. And then, of course, Sublime Donuts. Sublime Donuts is a black-owned donut company that has just so many different gourmet donuts, and they're creating new stuff all the time.
So they'll let me in, but they pat you down before you go in?
No, they let me in.
All right.
My money spends. You know, they said to me, said, we'll take the stuff that jingles, but we prefer the stuff that folds. You know, so that's what I brought in.
410-583-1057. Anthony from Forest Hill wants to talk Orioles baseball. What's up, Anthony? Anthony? Anthony, you've been waiting for an hour. Hey, what's up?
Hey, Tony.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, man? How are you?
I just want to talk about the Orioles real quick, how excited I am if they can stay healthy. I think that lineup is ridiculous. They're going to have protection in the lineup for Gunnar, Alonso, all of them. You can put Adley down at like 6 or 7, have him get back into his groove, you know, take some pressure off of him. Just excited for the first time, you know, after a disappointing last year. And I think pitching is, I think we hopefully will make another move. I hope we, you know, we go big with like Ranger Suarez or Zach Gallen, who are still available, but we'll see. I think an interesting move too is they're talking about the Diamondbacks. If they lose Zach Gallen, they're going to be down on pitching and they're projected to possibly have a bad season. Is why not make a move for like trade for Corbin Burns, get him back. He'll be healthy come playoff time and you have him under control for another 4 years after that. It'd be a very interesting.
You mean trade for him later on in the season, not now.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Absolutely. Yeah. If they're down, trade for mid-season. You might even get them at a little bit of a discount just to get the payroll off, just to get them off their payroll.
I don't know if for sure, Anthony, and I'll check it out, but if he has a no-trade clause, he's not going to want to leave. I'm going to check out and see if he does. I don't know if he does or not. I think, don't you automatically get that after a certain amount of service years in MLB?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know how that works. But the thing I would say about that, though, too, is like, there's so many better options right now and probably better options at that point. What did we say about Corbin Burns? Yes, we wanted him back because he's good, but that star is going to fade. His strikeout numbers were dropping drastically. I think there's better options out there.
He has a, are you sure 25? It says four no trade clause for first two seasons of contract. Oh, yeah, 25, 26. You're right. This past year was 25.
Yep.
Yeah, so that won't happen this year.
Having that four.
And I'm with you, man. I mean, that's. Who did somebody ask me if I want to go back to? Ramon Urias.
Mm-mm.
I'm like, why? He's a good utility guy. For that.
Yeah.
Move on. Go get a utility guy who is, you know, go get Connor Falefa.
You know
get
what,
that guy.
You know what I liked? I liked the Padres. They knew what their lineup was every day because they have players there. And then you spell your guys accordingly. Left, right for the outfield. Now with the DH, maybe you're finagling that. Maybe you give somebody a day off. But ultimately, I like knowing going in, that's my lineup. Maybe I juggle the order because of lefty-righty,
right.
But that's my lineup.
Yeah. But why do you want to get a utility guy that somebody moved on from? that. I mean, I like, you know me, I love Ramon Urias. But that was good for what the Orioles were, not for what they are right now.
We fall in love with mediocrity, and then we want to trash greatness when we see it.
I said it before. That's this town, man. That's this city. You know what I mean? You're great. You should be greater. Get rid of him. He's mediocre. Well, he's doing the best he can.
It's frustrating, man, because, like, again, even now in the offseason where the Orioles, we said it earlier, they added two starting pitchers. Right? Well, yeah, bringing back Eflin is adding another one. So you have a rotation of five that nobody can bitch about. But yes, I still want to see them add another starter. With all of that being said, Rob,
what are you going to do next?
They added 70 home runs or close to that. They have two guys that can hit damn near that from the right side of the plate. It changes your lineup. I understand what the caller was saying about Adley being lower in the lineup, but the fact that he's a switch hitter, it gives you so many opportunities to do different things at the top. I still think he hits in the top five, unless he starts struggling like he did last year.
It's going to be a very good lineup. It's going to be a very good pitching rotation. I think they continue to bolster the bullpen, stock it up. I think they had two more moves in the bullpen. That's just my opinion.
I think you said December 29th the Orioles were going to make a move. It just happened to be Zach Eflin.
Yeah, but that's not the one I thought, though.
No, hey, look, man. Something happened on December 29th. That is true. I love it.
That is.
He had the wrong name, but he had the right date.
The people don't understand how I really rolled the dice on this. Gunnar Henderson to be up around this date. What was it, 2 days later?
Yeah.
Adley Rutschman to be up on this date.
And you know when I say before, that Rob told
and I'm
me.
I'm really rolling the dice.
You know the things that you've told me that I haven't run with.
Right.
So when I say that Rob told me, I'm just going to say it right now because there's nobody listening. There's a 100% chance he told me zero when I say that. Because if he had told me something, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah. I gave you some gems.
But then I love the fact that when it does happen, that I still run with it that Rob told me. This is Rob's fault, Orioles. Don't give him any info. He tells me everything. And I can't keep my trap shut.
What was it? December the 29th, I think something's going to happen. That'll be that next move. When I saw it, I'm like, son of a bitch. You almost want to be wrong because people think that you're really running with some factual information. When it was just a hunch. I swear to you. Jeremy will confirm it was a hunch.
Mm-hmm. It is funny when those things do work out, though. Like they're educated guesses.
Yeah.
You know, but with that being said, I'm so excited for this damn Orioles season.
You and me both. You and me both. I think what we saw this offseason is it's a new day. They are looking to spend. They are the people that's gone shopping and they ain't looking at the tags. They know what they like, and they're going to buy it. You know how much we need that. Put it on the shopping cart. Let's go.
I think there's a good chance me and the polar bear become friends.
I think me and Tito will be all right.
You and Tito?
We'll be boys.
Yeah, my son got me like a Fanatics gift card. I haven't bought an Orioles jersey in a while, and I need to go get some of the young guys.
Did you just call him a big donkey?
I mean, he's a big boy.
Big donkey.
Yeah. I mean, like that's a power hitting some bitch, man.
I like it. I mean, yeah. you and a polar bear, huh?
Yeah, man. That's how many people, like how many different polar bear things are we going to see? And if he's not a part of the polar bear plunge, I think you guys are missing out.
Is the polar bear plunge just a Maryland thing?
And it's Special Olympics, but I don't know.
Maybe because remember, Amy Lawrence came all the way down here to participate in
that's it. That's right. And not everywhere is cold weather, so.
Well, she was in New York. It's cold weather there.
Yeah,
so.
But I don't know you want to get in that water.
I ain't getting in that water. You know I ain't getting in that water. Let's go to Kevin at Ellicott City. What's up? I don't get in warm water. What's up, Kevin?
What's good, fellas? Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Rob, this goes back to what you were just saying a little while ago about the Ravens and possibly making changes all around the building. I think this gives Craig Albanese a great starting. This gets the ship away from the harbor, right? This is the kind of team a new coach should really want to.
Jeez, what's that? Right? What's that background noise, man?
Oh, I have no background noise, buddy. That's the bumps on Bel Air Road because it's like off road when you drive.
Oh, all right. Okay. All right. I'm like, wow. Yeah,
it's like going through the whoops on a dirt bike track around here. Brandon Scott's kind of forgot about the res, I guess, but. My one last thought to you, Rob, is the furthest lady from the basketball when you press has to run to the hole when the ball is on the other side of the court, my brother. But best of luck in Atlanta, and Yeah, man. Looking good for the O's.
Thank you. I don't know what the press thing was for.
I mean, I'd have to see it. I think he's just talking about the other person taking away the next best available option. I mean, obviously in a press, when everybody's moving and you're double teaming one person.
Well, I mean, I know that. I don't know whether he was giving me information based on he saw our game or he just throwing it out there.
I'm sure he saw your game.
Wayne and Dundalk. What's up, Wayne?
Good morning, man.
How many whites were at your game?
There's a lot of them.
Okay, all right, never mind.
He's playing St. Mary's. What's up, Wayne?
Sorry, Wayne.
Hey, how you guys doing? Good morning, man.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, pretty good, man. I just wanted to speak about the Orioles real quick, man. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but there was an interview with Zach Eflin, and he was talking about, you know, the injury and coming back with the back and stuff. Like, I don't think any of us knew how serious it was. He said there was times when he couldn't even pick up his kid in his house.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought that he, you know, while he was here, I thought he pitched pretty damn good. So I'm just thinking in my head, if that injury is over with, he has no more back problems, he's got to be better than what he was, right? You would think. So I think that I hope we make another move, but I think that Eflin's going to be a lot better than what people think. I think he's a lot better than a five or a six or a depth move. I think that, to be honest, which I love Kramer, but if Zach Eflin is healthy, he might even pitch better than him.
I'm hanging up, boy. You talk bad about Kramer.
Yeah, that's his
Get
guy.
Out!
That's his guy.
Get out! So Matt Wyrick was supposed to join us at 9:30. I don't know what happened. He said 9:45.
8:30.
Now 8:45. So we gotta change the entire show around for Princess. Matt Wyrick joins us up next on The Fan. You know,
here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Jeremy, I guess we got nothing else better to do with our time. Schedule people for interviews, and then all of a sudden we got to change the entire show around because they can't do it at the scheduled time. They got to do it at some other time.
What did you call him, Princess?
Princess, yeah. Hey, now we got like the whole back end of the show has been rearranged because Matt Wyrick couldn't post what he was supposed to post from Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com. What's up, Matt?
Now, did you screw up or did he?
That's my fault, fellas.
Oh, come on, Matt.
Legal wasn't on. I know I'm running around this morning. But
no, I was saying throw Rob under the bus. Tell us it's his fault. We don't know any better.
Matt, the Orioles went out and re-signed Zach Eflin. I don't hate that move at all. But Jeremy and I are under the impression that they're still not done with starting pitching yet.
Yeah, I kind of get that sense, too. I mean, my sense is that they're not necessarily expecting him to be ready for opening day, certainly hoping that he'll be ready for opening day. But, at this point, you know, last year, obviously, they had him as their number one starter, and that was more of a de facto thing than anything else. Now they're kind of looking at him as maybe a depth piece, back end of the rotation guy with some upside, certainly. If he can kind of put those back issues behind him and get back to the kind of guy he was. So I certainly think they could afford to go out and get another starting pitcher, a front-end starting pitcher, begin the year with Eflin on the IL. You have Tyler Wells in the bullpen. Boom, there's a spot right there for you, and you figure out the rest later.
So as far as, you know, the other types of moves they can make, do you think they're done with bats? Will we see any other finagling? Because I know everybody's staring at Kobe Mayo going, where does he fit in now? And I know he can go to AAA. You don't have to do something. But what are your thoughts on maybe Kobe Mayo getting moved, and would they add another bat?
Yeah, I just kind of struggle to see where they would fit another bat in. I get that some fans want them to really go all in on maybe a center fielder, and you know, that would obviously be a spot where maybe you could upgrade over Colton Cowser. But I do think that the Orioles would want to see a little bit more of Colton Cowser before really blocking him off like that. You know, you bring in another big bat, and it might start to create more problems than it actually solves, and just the number of guys that you have and getting to that bat. I mean, you did pay Tyler O'Neill, and I know fans wanted to just see Dylan Beavers and you know, maybe just cut Tyler O'Neill and move on. But, you know, he's one of the highest paid players on the team. He opted back into his contract, and, you know, he still hit the ball as hard as anybody last year. So if he can stay healthy, even if he only plays 80 to 100 games, I mean, that could be 30 homers right there. So I do think that, you know, maybe they can go out and get a utility guy, someone who could kind of move around, because right now, you know, you don't really have a true, you know, backup infielder. You kind of have all of your starters and the infielders backing up each other, which if you were to get two injuries in a game, it could really be in a tough situation. But other than that, I think that the lineup is mostly set at this point.
Matt Wyrick, Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com. Matt, I have under the radar, I have no reason for choosing this guy, free agent signing for the Baltimore Orioles. And it's a splash signing.
Okay.
Cody Bellinger. Don't know why. Under the radar, don't know why. Don't have been given zero information on this. It just Cody Bellinger continues to jump out off the page for me for this Oriole team.
I actually had looked really intently at Cody Bellinger before the Pete Alonso signing, because it was kind of like a unique fit, because he played center field and first base.
Yep.
And he could have played 162 games splitting between center field, first base, DH, and really not kind of interrupted the Orioles' matrix of players, and Ryan Mountcastle and Comeo and everybody else could have still gotten a lot of playing time. Now that Pete Alonso is going to be taking up so much time at first base, I mean, you basically just have to be your everyday center fielder, and that would be a massive upgrade. Don't get me wrong, you know, Colton Cowser is still struggling to make contact. His defense is not yet proven at the center field spot, so I mean, sure. I mean, that would be an upgrade.
Yeah, the second highest WAR on the Yankees behind, of course, Aaron Judge. His WAR was 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, his defense in center field did slip a little bit last year, so I wonder if he's going to be, you know, moved toward the corners at some point. Might be a still a Gold Glove caliber corner outfielder, more so than a Gold Glove caliber center fielder at this point of his career. But, you know, with all the right-handed bats that they've gotten, all of a sudden you kind of need a lefty maybe in the middle of that. I get it. I could see it, but if they're going to go out and get a frontline starting pitcher, a guy who's going to be $20 million a year, I do wonder, despite David Rubenstein saying there's no financial limit, whether they might actually be hitting their financial limit with both of those guys.
What are your thoughts on the Shane Boz trade? A lot of people felt like they gave up too much, and honestly, when I was looking at it initially, I felt that. But he's got a tremendous amount of upside, and people have talked about not only that curve pitch that he has, but the movement on his fastball. I think he's going to fit in here, and if they, let's say they get with him the same way they got with Trevor Rogers, who knows what could happen?
Yeah, I mean, certainly by volume, they gave up a lot of guys, and you know, a recent first-round pick, two recent first-round picks, and one for next year. You know, that is a hefty price. There's no way about it. But I do think that they were able to kind of avoid giving up any major league ready guys. I mean, they didn't give up Kobe Mayo. They didn't give up Dylan Beavers. They didn't give up Trey Gibson. You know, Samuel Basayo was obviously untouchable. So the fact that they were able to not have to give up any of those guys who would help them in the short term, guys who are fringe top 100 prospects, if not top 100 prospects already. You know, I think that there was some Nationals fans on my feed were kind of saying like, oh, we would have taken that for Mackenzie Gore. But at the same time, you know, if you gave up that up for Mackenzie Gore, who had one more year of control and maybe is a little bit more established, you know, I think Nationals fans would have felt underwhelmed just because there was no kind of headlining prospect that the Orioles gave up in this deal. It felt like all of the pieces minus the headliner. So I felt like, you know, for Shane Boz, who certainly has a lot of upside, who has 3 years of control, you know, I felt like it was a pretty fair deal on both sides, honestly, even kind of baking in that this is probably a bit of an AL East tax, the Orioles trading with the Rays.
He's Matt Wyrick, Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com. You can follow him on Twitter at by Matt Wyrick. That's WEYRICH. Matt, thanks a lot, my man.
Appreciate
Happy
it.
Happy New Year to you.
Thanks, fellas. You too.
All right, buddy. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. He didn't think I was ridiculous.
What, with Cody?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's ridiculous, but then you're figuring out what you're doing with the rest of your outfield, too. Because then, again, any signings right now, I think, has to come with a subsequent trade or some sort of movement, right?
I think it is.
Because like, when we talk about the lineup, it feels like they're pretty set at every position. The one caveat being is if you move somebody that you had in one of those positions to go get somebody else.
What did the Shane Baz deal do to the Orioles?
As far as...
Not add. What did it subtract?
Minor leaguers.
You go out and sign a proven major leaguer. You trade some of these young major leaguers for minor leaguers. Maybe. You add back to your minor league.
I mean, look, that's a distinct possibility as well. I've seen some people talking about going back to the Padres and talking to them about some of their prospects, whatever's left over there. They actually still have one really good prospect left. But I don't know. I mean, I keep going back to the trade with Milwaukee that I think makes a ton of sense.
It does make a lot of sense.
Did it last year.
It does. I never thought about it until you said it. Daily Line with Jeremy Kahn at 9:30. But up next, we get stupid with the same guy, Jeremy Kahn.
We're going to do... So, I mean, I'm not going to bury the headline here. We're going to have the year in review of what's in my butt. You're going to find out all the different things people went to the hospital for.
I don't want to do what's in my butt.
That was stuck in their butt. We're also talking about a Florida man who suffered serious bodily injury because of a toilet seat.
It's uncomfortable.
And... it's so funny, the stuck in the butt. Fugitive migrant criminal bizarrely tries to hide in what? The guy was in, he was on the getaway.
Butt?
No, he tried to hide in what? Not in his butt, but in what? I'll tell you what it was when we come back right here on The Fan.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.